Thanks, Andy. And he's really been helping us with the Unleashed service, and the effects are seen. And talk to some of the people, and they'll tell you about it. Ever heard somebody say, "I'm spiritual, but I'm not into religion"? Ever heard people say that? "I'm spiritual, but I don't follow any organized religion." How do you respond to that? When they say that last one, I say, "Well, you ought to come to our church. We're really unorganized." I mean, look at my desk, you know. Come on. But one of the things that Christians like to say is that Christianity isn't about a religion. It's about relationship. Ever heard that one? Okay. Christianity isn't about... Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to establish a relationship. And I get what people are trying to say when they say that. That it's not enough to do religious things. It's not enough to just go to church and to read your Bible and pray as if those things could save you. It's having a relationship with God that saves you. But I also guarantee you that the people who say it's not about a religion but about a relationship, they go to church and they read their Bibles and they pray. They do religious things, right? And the reason they're saying, that some people say I'm spiritual but I'm not into religion, they're responding to them saying, "Well, you know, Christianity isn't about religion; it's about a relationship." Is because they're trying to get the person there to be a Christian, to accept Christ as their Savior, and then to come to church. Right? To come to church where they're going to do religious things, you know. Or at least come to church where then they may be able to accept Christ. But either way, they're trying to get them to come to their church where invariably they are going to experience religion. Right? I mean, they're inviting them to a building and an organization that is not required to pay property tax on the building because we're deemed by the government to be a religious institution. And the tithes and offerings that all those relationship but not religion people are giving to the church are tax deductible because our organization is a 501c3 organization and deemed a religious organization. And the Christian probably first heard that statement that we're not a religion, we're about relationship. They probably heard it in a church spoken by a pastor who was trained in a theological institution supported by a denomination and who carries the distinctly religious title of reverend, right? And if they didn't hear the statement in a church, they probably read it in a book that sold in the religion section of Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Yeah, you know, those first Christians were Jews. And they never left their religion. When they accepted Christ, they didn't leave Judaism. Because they saw following Jesus not as a repudiation of Judaism, but as the natural fulfillment of it. Though it was an unexpected fulfillment, it was still a fulfillment of Israelite religion. The very first Christians went to synagogue on Saturday and then church on Sunday. I don't want to ever hear y'all complain about having to come to church on Sunday, right? They did Saturday and Sunday. So don't tell me that they weren't religious. Christianity is about a relationship with Christ, but from the beginning and continuing on, it continues to be a religion. Pastor Brian Zahn wrote, "Jesus didn't come to start a religion, but if Jesus' coming hadn't started a religion, you would have never heard of Him." We'd all like to have Jesus without religion, wouldn't we? It's the same rationale of why I don't eat pizza crust or watch preseason football or pay attention to the NBA until the playoffs, you know? Because you want to skip the extraneous stuff and get right to the really good stuff. And that's what we'd like to do with Christianity. We'd like to skip over the parts we don't like and just be about the really good part of Christianity. Because the religion part, the church part, is kind of messy, you know? And we'd like to skip the messy parts and only have to deal with the good parts. One of the big things that that everybody is writing and talking about in church circles, pastor circles, is how millennials are leaving the church. As if millennials are the first generation ever to not go to church in their 20s, right? What they're saying, what we're hearing, is that oftentimes millennials leave the church, but not necessarily Christianity, because church is messy and Jesus isn't. Now, Luke Norsworthy is a millennial who started a church because he appreciates irony, right? But he tells this story. He said one Sunday morning when he was little, the pastor of the church, after church, came up to his father. He was frantic. He had a church bulletin in his hand. And on the image, on the front of the church bulletin, was a picture of the church's building. And somebody had doodled a picture of the church being burned. It was on fire. You got to understand the preacher's franticness, because just a few weeks before, the church had indeed burnt to the ground. They were worshiping in an alternative space. So the pastor had a right to be a little bit on edge. They didn't know who did it, but the smell of arson was in the air. So when the pastor saw the bulletin that had been altered to show the church building on fire, he thought he would get, you know, Sherlock Holmes on the job and that was this guy's father. His father was a psychologist, but he's not a CSI guy. Forensics is not his thing. But that didn't deter the preacher from asking my father if he could figure out who had drawn the flames and the smoke on the front of the bulletin. So the guy's father looked at the picture and studied it for a second. And he said, "Well, this picture was drawn by a boy, a young boy, probably around 10 years old, left-handed." And the preacher goes, "Really? You can tell all that from the picture?" And he says, "No, I can't tell that from the picture. I can tell you that because I saw my left-handed 10-year-old son, Luke, drawing it." The church had been burnt not by a left-handed 10-year-old boy, but come to find out that the church had been burnt by someone that the church was trying to help get back on their feet. Who knows? But it's no wonder why people play linguistic gymnastics of the relationship over religion thing. Because sometimes, most of the time, almost all the time, it's easier to like Christ than Christians. You know? It's easier to like Christ. Christians are a little bit tougher sometimes, right? And so the relationship versus religion thing tries to give us a connection with God without having to deal with being connected with all the junk that comes from people. And we all bring junk, don't we? We're all messy. And if the relationship but not religion move actually worked, then we would never have to worry about the sex scandals in the church, or the crusades, or the Left Behind movies, or the weird family drama that we read over in 1 Corinthians 5. We could just ignore that stuff. And we could pretend like those who use the Bible as a support for slavery and inequality aren't somehow connected with the rest of us. We could just laugh off the money-hungry televangelists. We could hide from the mess because we're not about religion. We're just about a relationship with Jesus. But we're not the first Christians to try to hide from people who sully the name of Christian. But luckily, God doesn't run from those people. God doesn't run from the mess. In fact, just the opposite. God enters into the mess. He entered into the mess when the world was formless and void. He entered into the mess when the Word became flesh. God enters the mess when He placed His Spirit inside each one of us, very messy people. Love does not run from the mess. Love runs into the mess because love is patient and messy. The world Jesus entered into was a mess. And just listen to one part of Matthew's birth narrative. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. And this is fulfilled. This was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. That's the world that Jesus entered into. A world where the government can kill innocent people and get away with it. I'm so glad that doesn't happen anymore. And the world is still a mess. You have Ebola, and drug cartels in Mexico and Central America murdering people. And you have ISIS beheading people. And you have Ferguson and Staten Island and Black Friday starting at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. You have in the U.S. 16 million kids living in poverty, almost a quarter of all children living in poverty. We have crime in the cities and drugs in the suburbs, rape on college campuses, and racism has been a part of our country's culture from the beginning and still continues to be a huge problem. And look, I get it. The church is supposed to be different from the world. And it is. But all too often when we say that, We create the expectation that the church isn't supposed to be messy and the people in the church aren't supposed to be messy, which isn't true because we are full of messy people. And when messy people have messy relationships, that mess gets brought in here and we have messy relationships here. Every church does. But let me tell you something. What turns people off outside the church, what turns them off to the church and oftentimes to Christianity, isn't that we're messy. It's that when we walk into church, we try to act like we're not. People don't fault us for being messy. They fault us for being hypocrites. They fault us for being judgmental, judging their mess rather than dealing with our own mess. Look, if you want to think that being gay is a sin, fine. But unless you yourself are gay, that's not your deal. That's some other guy's deal. You've got enough to do dealing with the log in your own eye. See, what's supposed to make the church different isn't that we're not messy, but how we deal with the mess. While the world tries to deal with the mess by shooting it, or bombing it, or incarcerating it, or moving out into the burbs, or separating from the mess, shielding ourselves and our kids from the mess, judging and condemning the mess into submission, we're supposed to forgive it. We're supposed to love it. See, the church isn't where we learn to eradicate sin. The church is the place where we learn to forgive sin. We are all sinners. Every single one of us. And without God's grace, we couldn't survive another second. We'd be burnt up just like that. And you know what? That's true whether you're in the church or outside the church. That's true whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. We are all sinners, and without grace, we could not survive. God loves religious sinners, and He loves non-religious sinners. And He pours out His grace on religious sinners. And He pours out His grace on non-religious sinners. The incarnation of Christ is about God entering the mess. And if we're going to be incarnational Christians, which is what it means to be the body of Christ, that's exactly what it means. Then we're going to have to be willing to deal with the mess of Christianity and deal with the mess of Christians and deal with the mess of the church and deal with the mess of the world. Otherwise, we really aren't following the Jesus who'd entered into the mess. We are right now going to do a very religious thing. We are going to take part in the ritual of the Eucharist. The elements of bread and cup intentionally symbolize that Jesus entered into the brokenness of the world, because it is broken bread and it is spilt blood that we share. But more than communicating to us the brokenness of our lives and our world and the brokenness of the body of Christ, these elements communicate God's love and God's grace in the midst of all of our brokenness. So let's gather around the table and let's celebrate the grace that we all have in the Lord Jesus Christ.